Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Well, I have a really interesting show to present to you today, and you're going to really, really enjoy this. My guest, Alea Dow, was a successful alternative health practitioner undergoing a sound healing session herself when she had one of those extraordinary ascents into an entirely expanded level of cosmic consciousness. And what she discovered in those few minutes and the days and years afterward was how ready her higher self, her body diva, and an array of personal multi-dimensional team members were to help her overcome her own perceived shortcomings, destructive habits, and life's speed bumps. We all have these things. The woman she is today is not the woman she was then, and she gives full credit to the higher realms for helping her evolve to the happy and fulfilled trailblazing spiritual teacher, healer, and author that she has become. In her astonishing and powerful book, her amazing book, Seven Cups of Consciousness, Change Your Life by Connecting to the Higher Realms, Alea offers a direct manual on how to engage with the higher dimensions to advance your own evolution, to create a life filled with happiness and purpose, always connected with the divine and perfect aspect of yourself, protected and guided by a loving angelic presence. She shows how this kind of life becomes possible when we learn to consciously connect at the spiritual level with higher dimensions. Alea Dow is a sound healer, a doctor of oriental medicine, an acupuncturist, and spiritual guide for 20 years in the Southwest. She practiced in Telluride, Colorado, before moving to Santa Barbara, California, where she currently serves an international clientele. I want to bring Alea on so we can begin talking about this phenomenal book, and you will be certainly inspired by this. So, good morning, Alea. Are you there?
Good. I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am great, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Thank you for being my guest today. This is going to be fantastic. Alea and I were talking a little bit before we went on air, and we've got some interesting directions to take this show. But let's start with, so you called your book Seven Cups of Consciousness. Why did you call the book that, and what can we start talking about what those seven cups of consciousness are?
These are seven concepts that can really help somebody transform their life and shift out of their challenges. And they're pretty deep. In the beginning, we kind of think about these seven concepts as like, oh yeah, that's easy to grasp. We live in this multidimensional world and these other dimensions affect our reality. But I really wanted to come up with something that was intriguing. And in 2009, I actually started recording daily meditations, and that eventually evolved into cups of consciousness. So every morning you sip from this cup of consciousness that helps you access a higher state of consciousness. And with this work that I've been doing for over a decade now, I really wanted to come up with a framework and a concept that people could not be frightened of, but be intrigued by and start sipping from these different perspectives.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, that does make it so user-friendly to think of it.
Absolutely.
In the terms of, you know, of sipping from a cup of coffee. That's really nice. So let's see. The first concept is you live in a multi-dimensional reality. Can you just briefly explain what that is?
Yeah, if we think about the physical dimension as just one floor of a multi-storied building, and a lot of us, we navigate our life thinking that the physical realm is all there is, but then we have these dreams or this memory or this knowing or a shift in our perception. And when I had that enlightenment experience in 2001, it was like, oh, it is undeniably a multi-storied building with lots of different realities all happening in this same time-space continuum. And so this first concept really speaks to the idea that we've got the physical dimension, but then we have these other dimensions, other realms, other floors, that there are energetic aspects of ourself that we can tap into and utilize these resources to actually shift our physical experience. And I think of the physical dimension as literally the reflection of the higher realms. And so we have these blueprints that are held on these higher floors. And when we use our energy self that does exist in these higher planes to shift the energy up there, it then reflects into the physical dimension.
Okay. And by that, when you say it reflects into the physical dimension, are you talking about reflecting on back to the person who's experiencing this, or are you talking about the physical dimension at large?
More to the individual, so I'm talking more about particular energies. The only thing that we can control is the vibration that we hold within us. And so when we start using our higher self and our energy self to cultivate different frequencies, vibrations, qualities, and consciousness, we then start to feel the ripple, and we perceive that in our mental, emotional, and physical experience onto our body, onto our material world. But if I wanted to create peace in the Middle East, so to speak, I can't control other people's energy. All I can do is control my own, hold a higher frequency, and positively, empathically impact the planet from that stance. So it's really about teaching people how to control their internal energies.
Okay. And under the multidimensional reality, you talk about a divine line, and you describe it as, you say, imagine your divine line as a column, a tube, or your inner glass elevator shaft. The light that flows in your divine line is your essence. So can we talk a little bit about the divine line and how we get in touch with that?
Yeah. I was in meditation several years ago, and I was sitting with highly evolved beings in another realm. And they said, Alea, you want to know how easy it is to get in connection with your essence? And I was like, how easy is it? And they said, take a deep breath in. And so when we literally use our inhale, our imagination, our intent to pull ourselves into this energetic inner column of light, we immediately start tapping into that part of us that is absolutely perfect and whole. The seventh concept, I know I'm jumping from the first to the seventh, but the seventh is you are perfect. There is a river of light that flows within you. And from my perspective, we as souls are simply beams of light, a column of light, having a physical experience, but we're not in this we're not physical beings. We're having an energetic physical experience. And so when we take that deep breath in and pull ourselves into this column, then we start tapping in with that divine part of us. And there all of our resources flow. We are safe, we are connected, we are pure, we are perfect. So it's really as simple as an inhale.
So why do you think it's easier for some of us to be able to sit and talk to our guides or angels than it is for others?
I think that it's it depends on our childhood, right? Our belief systems that we've been brought up in. And I think of every soul, regardless of what they've experienced in their life, at a certain point in their evolution. And so if we think about evolution as a 33,000-foot mountain, the people that are at 1,000 feet or 2,000 feet, they may not be perceiving their divine light that flows within them. And then as we evolve over lifetimes, we start to perceive this inner river of light to a greater and greater degree. And the higher up on the mountain, the easier it is to tap into that inner vibration of light, essence. And so regardless of what we've experienced, you know, I've watched families and children come in and they all have the same outer environment experience, but they respond to it in a very different way. And so when we recognize, from my perspective, that people are dealing with their challenges depending on their entire incarnational journey that they've had for thousands and thousands of years, thousands of lifetimes, and that actually patterns how we respond, how we believe, what we're able to tap into, and it takes practice. And so if you as a soul have been working on connecting with your divine light for 20 incarnations, it's going to be easier for you to connect with your inner light than it would be somebody who doesn't even perceive that they are a beautiful being of light yet. They haven't practiced that. So that's my perspective on that great question.
Okay, that makes sense. So are things that happen to us in our childhood, can these things create an energy block that keep us from being able to get in touch with these, you know, with our divine self?
Absolutely. And what we can do, too, with these challenges, like if we've had parents that are not holding a safe container, a loving container, is we might actually even take on, at an energetic level, their issues. Thinking that if we help them shift, then we'll get what we're really wanting, that love, that safety, that connection. And so when I'm working with somebody and in the book, I talk about the idea that 70 to 80% of our challenges actually don't even belong to us. And so when we start to discern that beautiful inner river of light that flows within, we're then able to have greater discernment about what really belongs to us, what issues are ours, and what might belong to the mother, the father, the siblings, the ancestors. Mm. And the entire premise of the book is really teaching people how to tap into that energy self that I call the higher self, and use these higher realms to release and clear issues that aren't yours, as opposed to the mind. So a lot of the times we'll do affirmations and therapy, and I'm not saying that those things don't work. Just in my journey, I created this formula of what is going to work for me, and then as it worked for me, I shared it with others and found that it actually worked for other people too. And so it's really tapping into your higher self and inviting your higher self to energetically locate these vibrations, qualities, issues, belief systems, challenges, traumas, ways of being that don't even belong to you, and give it back to the mom and the dad. And then bring in your own wisdom and your own mastery and model that in the world.
Right. Now, what if we're, I deal with a lot of people who are empathic, and actually I have a page on Facebook called the Empath Society. I have a lot of members.
Great.
And the common question I get is, it's so painful to live in this world. I'm a sponge, and how do I just survive? It's just painful for me to even, you know, go out. And I find the same thing with myself. I tend to stay in a lot because it's so challenging for me to be in these environments. So what do you say to people that are taking in too much energy?
Well, there's three concepts to really embody. And the first one is to recognize that we use, when we're really empathic, that's an indicator that we've gotten to a certain point in our evolution, that we have a mastery We have gifts, wisdom, tools at an energetic level, and maybe even consciously we're aware of these inner gifts, wisdom. And because we've reached this level of mastery, the next thing on our grocery list is compassion. Because when you have mastery without compassion, then you have spiritual arrogance. Then you're really like, oh, that's a really dark, long path. And so to prevent spiritual arrogance, what we'll do is we'll attain this mastery, and then we'll become the empath to cultivate compassion. Because if you literally walk around in someone else's shoes feeling what they're feeling, you have the ability to have compassion instead of judgment. And then the next step is to model the solution to the person that you're feeling. I used to be so incredibly empathically reactive, paralyzing, and I thought, my God, I cannot keep functioning this way. I have to come up with a formula to navigate through this high level of empathic sensitivity. And so what I did was I recognized that the moment we are empathic with another person, that's an indicator that we have information, energetic information, for the person that we're feeling, or for the mass consciousness that we're feeling. And so we want to invite our energy self, not our mind, to send that information to whomever we're feeling, where they have the ability to receive it at an energetic level. And then here's the second step, and that is to lift all of your attachment and your desire for other people being a certain way off of them, and you get totally attached and desiring for just your own reality, no one else's. Now, in the beginning, that sounds really selfish, but for an empath, it's survival. And so we lift this attachment, this desire off, and we're only attached to the vibration we're holding in our divine line, river of light. And then the third step is to return all responsibility that we might unconsciously or consciously, energetically be holding for another person. It is not our job to make people happy and peaceful. It's our job to be in that inner state of peace, happiness, calm, connection, whatever qualities we value. So we return that responsibility because also if we're responsible for another person's journey, we're again walking in spiritual arrogance, high levels of empathic sensitivity. So we send the information, we hold total attachment desire for our own internal reality, we return the responsibility back to the person we're feeling, and then we think about what is the energy we think that person should be in or could be in. We just walked a mile in their shoes. We have tons of research, tons of information. Then we start inviting our energy self to activate the vibration of the spiritual lesson or that energetic stance that we think would help them. And so when we're holding that and modeling that energy inside ourselves, we then create this positive empathic field of transformation, but we're holding a higher frequency instead of a lower one. So I've definitely spent a ton of time unpacking the challenge of empathic sensitivity and looking at all of the layers and came up with this formula. And now I can clear empathic sensitivity within 30 seconds to 5 minutes. If it's with a family member, it might take me 5 minutes because my body is going to be more attached to their body being happy and healthy and safe. But if it's a client, usually within 30 seconds by following that. Now, it took me probably 2 to 3 years to be able to clear it so clearly, so quickly.
Mm, okay, right. Because I work as a mental health counselor, and I have learned to not be attached to outcomes. That's one thing that I have learned over the years. But I think on a deep energetic level, I am retaining some of the feelings that are going on in our conversation. So this is really, really helpful to me. I would imagine that it does take practice because we are so used to this pattern of understanding people and feeling for them that to be able to let that go is difficult, and to put it into an energy that's positive it's just a different way of thinking about it, right?
It is, yeah, absolutely. And also really recognizing there were two pieces that my guides shared with me with this empathic sensitivity. And they said, Alea, whenever you take responsibility for somebody or you want them to be in a particular way or a particular behavior, even more peaceful or happy, you are disempowering them. You're stealing. And so as soon as I got called out that I was being out of energetic integrity, I dropped it. I was like, what? I'm out of integrity? No. As a healer, we never want to do harm. And so it's really about shifting out of the codependent healer and into a co-creative healer. And then the second piece was being called spiritually arrogant. That's another like highly insulting thing that somebody could say to me that would immediately get my attention. Like, what? I'm in spiritual arrogance? Yeah. The moment I project what I value onto another person and assume that they should be more happy or more peaceful or in greater integrity or more empowered, well, I'm projecting my values upon them. What if they want self-control? What if they want greater confidence instead of peace or happiness or integrity? And so whenever we project what we want for another person on them, we're not recognizing their deep wisdom, their discernment, their capacity as a soul to grow and evolve using whatever mechanisms they choose. So those were the two that got my greatest attention and kept me in the stance of energetically keeping my hands to myself, so to speak.
Okay. All right. Well, that resonates with me. It certainly does. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. I mean, I know that a lot of empaths are emotionally attached to outcomes. It's just it's because a lot of them have had issues in childhood and things that have made them sensitive. Well, we've talked about the first cup a little bit. You live in a multidimensional reality. Talking about, you know, the kind of things that we are discussing, which cup should we go to now?
Well, let me just do a quick overview just to give people a framework for these seven concepts. So we've got the first one, you live in a multidimensional reality. The second one talks about the idea that you are never alone. You have guides, team, angels around you, and they can be a really great resource for you when you know how to connect with them and when you know how to ask them for help. The third concept talks about using your higher self, your energy self, these other realms, to shift the inner energy that you're holding inside yourself. So you can change your inner world. And as you shift this inner world, this inner energy, it then positively reflects into your outer world. The fourth cup talks about using your challenges to grow and evolve. The fifth cup talks about the idea that you're not your body, that your body, physical human form, is actually a nature spirit. It has its own unique consciousness, sort of like the horse you ride or the car you drive. And so when we start tapping into the idea that we have a soul consciousness that is not the body and that our body has its own consciousness, we start being able to navigate and ride in our body in a more co-creative, healthy, happy way instead of a micromanaging, feeling like we're being held hostage, not free, codependent way. The sixth cup talks about you do have inner gifts, wisdom, and mastery, and to use those gifts on yourself and model that in the world. That sort of ties a little bit into that empathic sensitivity we were just talking about. And then I mentioned the seventh cup, you are perfect. There is an inner river of light that flows within you, and when you connect with your essence, you are then able to move from a more authentic, connected, empowered, full place in all areas of your life and then create that externally in all your relationships, including with your body. So when we start sipping from these seven cups, we start getting a blueprint and a framework for that explains why our life is the way it is and how to change it.
Perfect. Well, that sounds pretty easy to do. I mean, I know it's not easy. I know that it's something that takes practice and discipline, but at least it's a framework to help us get there, to get to that place.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right,
and I
right.
have found that when people start using these seven concepts, sometimes what they do is they pull all of their issues out of their closet and drawers and try to start working on all of them at the same time. And I recommend not doing that. Just because you've got the tools doesn't mean we want to take the entire car apart and, you know, display it all over the garage. It's more really allowing yourself to think of one thing that you want to work on this month. Like, I really want to cultivate more self-confidence. And then every day, say, higher self, activate the vibration of self-confidence in my divine line. And then in a month, check and see if your confidence level is a little higher.
Okay. Well, that's manageable. We can do that.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of issues. Do you think that you know, a lot of energetic work is about your inner self and getting in touch with your inner world and things like that. I mean, I know that you you talk about being within in order to live without, you know. But I have had, I've actually talked with people who do astral traveling and things like that, and they talk about the energy, learning to feel that energy within and then project it out in order to be able to do these things. Is there a relationship between, you know, what we do with our inner world and being able to actually explore these other dimensions?
Absolutely. And that's a little bit more advanced than what I talk about in the book. But
okay.
Anytime you're going to travel and access other dimensions, I recommend really first mastering holding your awareness in your divine line, river of light, front of spine. And so I have audio meditations that actually go with the book, and one of the meditations that go with the first cup talks about cultivating this deeper, stronger connection with this inner river of light, using your higher self. And I think of our higher self as this energetic part of us, and it has access to our energy fields. And the more we connect and direct our higher self to use our energy fields, the stronger we get at an energetic level. And ideally, within 1 to 2 breaths, we pull ourselves into our divine line. And then as we hold our awareness on our divine line, we immediately gain access to other dimensions and to our higher self. And then we actually travel in our divine line, if you want to think of it in a linear way, up the divine line to higher planes of reality. And so that would be us astral traveling. But you want to firmly attach your divine line to the front of your spine before you astral travel so that your body doesn't get freaked out thinking that you're going to leave. So holding the awareness in the divine line, strap in, it's like putting your anchor down, and then go take a trip. But always stay in your divine line. Also, as you hold your awareness in your divine line, when you are dimensionally traveling, you want to make sure that you are only attached and desiring for your own reality and then modeling the solution to any energies that you encounter. A lot of the times people start to astral travel and they encounter beings that maybe are not lovely, and then they might get energetically, psychically attacked in these other planes. But the more you're connecting with your light and your own power deep in your own core, not attached to shifting other beings, then you're not going to take a hit. And so there are lots of things to take into consideration when you start to tap into these other dimensions, and it's important to hold great degrees of empowerment before you start taken wild and crazy trips up your elevator shaft.
Right. And I think that's really important for all of us, especially people who are empathic, because I know that things easily attach to me. And and I have to be careful where I go because I used to be really into antiques. I love them, and I have them in my house, which I really do need to work on saging some things and getting them out of here. But
bowls underneath them. Just put salt bowls.
I can't. I have like hundreds of them.
Get a bunch of salt bowls, or just like one at a time. You clear one piece of furniture a day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Yeah. What I used to do is I would notice that, you know, if I would go into an antique store, my whole entire mood would change. I'd just be drained of energy. So I came home and I would do a sea salt spray. I'd go outside, you know, and I'd spray myself down with the sea salt and then pour it out into the gutter, you know, and then that sort of got rid of some of it. So I'm familiar with that.
On the antiques for just a second? Because I just
got it,
and I'd never seen it. Because I was like, oh, salt under every furniture, that's going to take a long time. So what you can do is you can invite every single piece of furniture in your home that's an antique to connect with the essence of itself prior to its purchase. And so So you would invite every single piece of furniture in a higher dimension where it has an energy self to connect with the essence of itself when it was in its original creation. So a lot of antiques are made of stone and wood or metal, and those are elementals of earth. And so what you're inviting every piece of furniture to do is to connect with its the essence of the elementals that make up the furniture and to fully embody itself and to clear all other energy off of it. So then you just have the pure essence of the nature spirit, wood spirit, and the stone people, and the metal, mineral people. So allow the furniture to embody its original essence.
And is that just a one fell swoop kind of thing? You know, you just go out there and you stay, really?
Yeah.
You just say, I invite you to connect with the essence of your elementals or elements?
Yes, the element of your essence, that pure nature spirit. So every piece of furniture in my home, I invite every single piece of furniture at the level of its energy self to activate the vibration of its pure essence that is connected to the earth energy, to clear all other vibrations, all other beings up and off of all aspects of yourselves, and to embody your essence. And then when you go and look at the furniture, you're seeing that pure nature spirit of that wood elemental or the stone elemental holding itself, embodying itself in that object.
Okay, that's so
this is recorded, so you can write it down later.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking notes. I'm writing. Right, that's so much easier than, you know, because I've been told to take pieces out and sage them or bury them and, you know, I mean, little pieces and things like that, which could take me. I don't have the time to do that. So this certainly is a much quicker method. So so where should we go with this now? What would you like to talk about?
Well, the body, Deva, I think you were, when I said the fifth cup, you're like, oh, yeah. Did you have a question or a thought around the body, Deva, nature, spirit? Physical human form having its own unique consciousness?
No, I thought that was a really, really neat way to think of it because, you know, just using myself, I have suffered from fatigue issues for many, 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 many years. And I know what they're about. I think it's old blocked energy. I think it's things I'm holding on to that I need to release. But if I could think of my body in terms of a separate entity from me, that may help me to be able to release.
And then, what you would do is you would ask your body, Deva. I call the body like the energetic part of our body or the nature consciousness, a body Deva. It's like a nature spirit elemental. And we would say, body Deva, nature spirit, are you holding issues and energy of other people that don't even belong to you? Maybe even that belong to me. Or are you trying to support the people that you love? And body Deva, what would happen if you used all of your creative energy that is this beautiful earth vibration and you held and used all your creative energy only on yourself, no other body Devas, no other souls, you just totally support yourself because that creative energy that the body Deva has is just huge when it's streaming its creative energy fully on its own self. And so the more we invite our body, nature, spirit, horse we ride, to stream its creative energy in its own divine line that runs through the spine, the more vitality we have. A lot of the times, too, we might drive our body pretty hard. And the way that I live my life is I think of my day and I say, okay, body Deva, I have a radio show at 8 in the morning, and then I have a client at 9, and then I have 3 hours where you can do whatever you do. I need these 2 hours, and then you get 3 hours, and then I need another 2 hours. And so I really give space to my body Deva to do what she wants to do that will help her rest and restore so that I can do the work that I need to do when I need to show up for it. And so the more we hold that container and not judge what our body wants to do, my body might say, I want to take a nap, or I want to go shopping online, or I want to garden, or I want to go for a walk. Great. Do what you need to do to rest and restore so that we both feel like our needs are getting met. So it really becomes a more conscious, co-creative relationship instead of one where we're overriding, judging, shaming, and then depleting the energy.
I like that. I like that. I think that could really work for me.
Absolutely.
I have to get to know my, I've got to release my body diva and stop being so attached to it and trying to control it so much.
Right.
And judging it for what it's holding me back from doing. So,
I spent two years giving my body diva full responsibility for herself. And after 2 years, she said to me, I want to lose 20 pounds. And I was like, okay, go for it. And in 20 years, I had never been able to lose, the freshman 15 that I picked up in college.
Right.
And so when I gave my body diva full responsibility for doing whatever she wanted to do, she actually had the willpower to do it instead of me judging and micromanaging.
Right. It took you 3 years to get to that point?
Two. And then that after 2 years of giving her full responsibility and feeling full ramifications of her actions, then she was like, okay, I'm totally over chips and salsa at night, tortillas and cheese. Because that's what my body would do, like rebel, because I was controlling it all day long. And then, the evening came and it just was like, all right, that's over. And so after 2 years of just giving full responsibility, then she kicked into full gear and had her will back, really, because I wasn't trying to control and judge.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a fantastic way of looking at things. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. So let me just say, to my listeners, Leah's book is called Seven Cups of Consciousness, Change Your Life by Connecting to Higher Realms. And Leah is A-L-E-Y-A-D-A-O, Leah Dow. Where can we buy this book, Leah?
People can get the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or New World Library, but even better, I invite you to go to your local bookstore and ask for Seven Cups of Consciousness. We really want to keep those bookstores open in our physical dimension.
Okay. Okay, that's great. I was just going to ask you something. Oh, and your website is cupsofconsciousness.com, right?
Yeah, there's two websites, and I invite all of your listeners to go to cupsofconsciousness.com to get a free week of the daily Cups of Consciousness. The first cup is like helping you connect with your higher self, your divine line, and then you get another 6 cups that give you an introduction to the concepts and increase greater support in your life and start basically training your energy fields to connect with these higher planes, shift the higher planes that then shift your physical experience. And then after that trial week, you can subscribe if you want to. And then you can also, at Cups of Consciousness, get a free Tall Cups of Consciousness, which is about a 45-minute energy balancing session. And I do the Tall Cups every 3 weeks. It's live and recorded. People can join me on video or over the phone. And I think after I've been recording the daily Cups of Consciousness since 2009, and I have 1,200 meditations online that speak to different topics, like you've got your body diva or increasing support, shifting lack, whatever the challenges that we might experience. So every day I tune into the energetic weather and record an audio meditation that speaks to that energy and using the higher self to spiritually grow and evolve. So people can go to cupsofconsciousness.com or aleyadao.com, aleyadao.com. And then I also post the energetic weather report on Facebook every day. So feel free to follow me there too.
The energetic weather report as far as, what do you mean by that?
Like every day we have sunny weather, rainy weather, cold or warm in the physical dimension. But energetically, we have streams of energy coming onto the planet, and I'm able to perceive what these streams of energy are. So yesterday it was grace and purity. Today it's all about connecting with your body, Deva, nature, spirit, and helping it use the higher realms to shift, grow, and evolve. And so when we start using the energetic weather to spiritually grow and evolve, we stop having to use our finances, our relationships, challenges, and struggles. We do want to spiritually grow and evolve, whether we're conscious of it or not. And so the energetic weather is a really great mechanism to use instead of the physical challenges.
Okay. I flipped open your book just to see, where I would land in it. And I came upon healing feelings of abandonment in your body, diva. And I'm reading, every time you have incarnated in this world, the same body Deva has hosted you. That surprised me. It changes its form to accommodate your level of consciousness. Each time death occurs, your body Deva may experience a sense of separation, which in turn may trigger feelings of abandonment. You said that you had this experience. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I actually think that if we were to ponder the core issue that a lot of us have, it is abandonment. But it's actually not so much our issue of abandonment, it's more our body's issue of abandonment. And anytime we resist riding in the body then feels rejected, like there's something wrong with it. And so imagine if you were riding a horse and you didn't really want to be on the horse. The horse is going to start having issues of self-worth, of like, what's wrong with me? I'm a beautiful nature spirit. You should be having a lovely ride. And so when we start recognizing the unique consciousness of our body and helping our body connect with its essence, its divine line that runs in its spine, we're connecting with our divine light that runs inside ourselves, and we stop resisting the ride and literally opening these beautiful channels of light between our divine line and our body, Deva's divine line, we then start experiencing this deeper level of interconnection. The body is experiencing its own connection to its essence, and then we start reflecting this beautiful interconnection upon each other, and then our issues of abandonment and fear of rejection start to go away, dissolve.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, and I actually see on page 116 you actually have the protocol to invite your higher self to work with your energetic field. Yeah, I see that. Okay, so that's all printed right there. Well, we're running out of time, and I don't want to cut you off. So I'm going to thank you right now for this wonderful session. I learned so much. I'm sure that my listeners did as well. It's your concepts are some of them are really different than I've heard before, and I like them. They're very relatable and very easy to grasp. So
thank you,
Alea, for being my guest today. And again, Alea's book is Seven Cups of Consciousness. I urge you to get this book and change your life in the way that you really want to. So it's been a great, great 30, 40 minutes with you, and I appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's really been an honor.
Okay. Well, I hope we talk again, and have a great, great day, a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. So, unfortunately, our time is up for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. loveyourlife@randygfine.com. My website is also randygfine.com, and I would love for you to come and visit me, sign my guest book, leave me comments. There's articles about all kinds of things that could fascinate you, spiritual growth, personal growth, parenting, relationships, original quotes, all kinds of things that that can lift you up. I talk about empaths. I talk about narcissistic personality disorder, which is really my expertise. But there's a lot of great things there. And if you enjoy listening to my shows, I would love for you to become a show follower. And you will be notified of all the great programming, like Alea, that I have coming up. You don't want to miss out on any of these shows because they are all equally fascinating. So, I would love for you to become a show follower. So, and you can stop by my Facebook pages. I have three of them. Randy G. Fine. I have Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United, and I have Empath Society. So come and visit me there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host, counselor, and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. away.